we're the Denver Broncos cheerleaders, and you're listening to Sports Crunch with DeGrom.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever or whenever you cats and kittens are. This is Sports Crunch with DeGrom. I'm your host, David Cromelo. We are just over 4 weeks away from the 2024 NFL Draft, and today we analyze our sixth of seven position groups of prospects, the defensive line edge group. Here to give us a detailed analysis on this next crop of NFL quarterback disruptors is our good friend, Devin Jackson, who covers the NFL draft for the Philadelphia Inquirer, where he was also recently promoted to lead sports editor. Devin, first of all, congratulations, and it's great to have you back with us. How are you, my man?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks again, for the kind words. But yeah, I'm excited to be here, talk the NFL draft. You know, like you said, we're under a month away from the draft and everything that comes with it. So it'll be interesting to see how things shake out, you know, by the time draft day comes around on April 25th. But for now, just working our way towards it.
Absolutely. And without further ado, let's get down to business. When it comes to this edge class, a draft analyst friend of mine said that while it's a decent group, it consists of all Robins, but no Batmans. However, there is an edge talent with a shot to be a top 10 pick on April 25th, and that is Dallas Turner out of Alabama. Dallas Turner absolutely took the combine by storm, measuring in at 6'3", 247, along with vine-like 34 3/8-inch arms and a jaw-dropping 83-inch wingspan, which is just about 1.2 inches shorter than that of LeBron James. On the field, he continued his freakish performance by running a 4.46 40, as well as posting a 40.5-inch vertical jump and a 10'7" broad jump. Dave Brugler, lead NFL draft analyst for The Athletic, said that Dallas Turner is probably the favorite to be the first defensive player off the board. Do you share that view? And if so, what on tape makes him such an intriguing talent?
Yeah, he's an interesting prospect for sure. And I think he's a kind of a guy that, you know, grows on you the more that you watch him. Because, like, when you think about an edge rusher going top 10, you want a guy that's, you know, a bona fide, you know, possible 10 to 15 sack type of player, a guy that, you know, obviously has the traits and skill set, but dominates at the college football level. And for him, it's more about, like, you know, right now he's just using his raw athleticism to be such a menace, not only as a pass rusher, but as a run defender too. And I think his run defending ability is a little bit underrated, you know, just as a part of his game, because everyone looks at the tools, what he's able to do in speed to power conversions, and be able to win on the outside track as well. I think him as a run defender may be even better at this level than where he is as a pass rusher, just because there's so much he still can tap into as a pass rusher. So I would say definitely is one of the favorites to come off the board. To me, it's kind of like between him and his teammate, Tyrion Arnold, who I think might be the first defenders to come off the board, just because I think Arnold, his ball skills, his coverage ability, inside out ability, positional wise too, being able to play in the nickel and play as an outside corner, I think it's going to be so valuable, especially in the modern NFL. But I think Turner definitely has a chance to go, you know, early in the first round, and obviously the Falcons at 8 seemed like a great spot. Maybe even the Bears at 9 if they want to add another edge rusher opposite of Montez Sweat. So, you know, I think definitely he should be in that conversation. His skill set definitely deserves that type of recognition.
Absolutely. And revisiting my other friend's point from earlier, do you think Dallas Turner is capable of evolving into that Batman the teams covered in their pass rush?
I think there's certainly a path to just how long it takes is really going to depend on his development and how he continues to refine this game each and every season. Because it feels like he's a guy that's just kind of realizing his potential and understanding what he's able to do and learning to build off of some of his pass rush wins and building off that skill set. Because, like, you know, we talked about the speed, the power conversion. There's so many different things that you can do off of that. You know, it's not just, you know, overwhelming people with your speed or your power, but kind of manipulating offensive tackles as well. So I think that's kind of the next step in kind of his development, is learning how to manipulate offensive tackles, offensive guards as well, if he's reduced down in formations, and be able to continue to ascend as a player. but I think he certainly has a skill set to become a Batman. I just think about I just think his development needs to continue to grow incrementally. But he'll certainly have flashes as a rookie of being a potential Batman, especially down the stretch of the season when Alabama needed big plays defensively. He will come through for them.
Absolutely. The next big thing for Dallas Turner is to add more moves to his pass rush repertoire in order to assume that Batman role for whoever drafts him. And Dallas Turner does have an enormously high ceiling, but if there is any edge or any defensive player in this class for that matter with a super high floor, it is Florida State defensive end Jared Verse. While he may not be the freakish athlete Turner is, Verse still had a very, very good workout in Indy. He's got good arm length at 33 and a half inches and is incredibly strong as he totaled 31 bench press reps. In addition to that, Verse ran a 4.58 40, which is the fastest such time in the last decade out of anyone with 33-inch arms or longer and 30-plus bench press reps. What makes Jared Verse an instant impact day one NFL starter, and why would some teams have him higher than Dallas Turner on their boards?
It has a lot to do with how he's able to win in several different ways. He's not really a pure speed guy like Dallas Turner is, and be able to threaten the edge or the outside shoulder of tackles consistently like Turner does. But his hand work, I think, is what really separates him from Dallas Turner. His ability to get his hands in the chest of offensive linemen, be able to kind of control the rep, use those long arms that you mentioned that he measured in with at the combine. And then really, no matter where he's at, even if he's like in reduced formations, 4-eye, as a 5 technique, as a standout guy, he really did it all over his course career, even going back to when he was at Albany before he transferred to Florida State. So to me, versus a guy like he's been in the limelight for a couple of years now, and kind of you get that prospect fatigue if you're a guy that was draft eligible the previous year, you go back to school, people seem to pick more things apart from you. And he didn't get off to the greatest start, to start the season. But they were sending a lot of double teams his way, making sure that he was schemed to not get after the quarterback. But once you saw him start to break free and start to affect the game, you saw just how dominant he can be. And while Turner doesn't quite have that takeover or ability to kind of effectively end the game or really take over or have that move that he can go to when he needs to, I think Verse has that ability. And I think that's why teams may want him earlier, because he knows what he's good at, the type of pass rusher he is. And using his hands, using his power to overwhelm offensive linemen, but also being able to win in different or different positional alignments as well, I think is really what separates him from Dallas Turner. I think he's a better run defender right now, although Turner is a really good run defender as well.
Absolutely. And when we were talking about Dallas Turner a minute ago, you mentioned the Bears at 9 as a potential landing spot for him. Do you think the Bears at 9 would be an ideal landing spot for Verse, lining him up opposite Montez Sweat?
Yeah, Verse at 9 may be a little rich for some people, just depending on, the kind of his skill set. He's not exactly a freak athlete, but I think he would make a lot of sense in Chicago for what they do, running 4-3 scheme, have Montez Sweat. But I think their interior defensive line group also needs another bona fide starter, bona fide, playmaker on the defensive line. So I think you can't go wrong going defensive line, whether it's edge or interior defensive line for the Bears at 9. I don't think it'll be a popular pick, but I think it would definitely be needed as they continue to grow towards trying to compete for the NFC North Division.
Absolutely. If the big three wide receivers are gone at 9 and you could trade back a couple spots, Verse would absolutely make sense for the Bears. And a big name edge prospect you and I saw down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl is Laiatu Latu out of UCLA. Latu is one of this draft's most inspiring stories as he was forced to retire due to a neck injury he suffered during his time at Washington. Yet shortly thereafter, he unretired and subsequently transferred to UCLA, where he had two durable and productive campaigns. However, I've encountered mixed opinions on Latu. Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network said during the combine broadcast that if the evaluation on his neck come back clean, and buzz has it that they did, Latu should be off the board within the first 12 to 15 picks. On the other hand, my good friend Nick Kendall, who is a regular on this program, says that while Latu is very technically polished, he is worried about his lack of length at 32 5/8-inch arms and his lack of athleticism as well, which showed up when he faced off against Talisi Fuaga, who may be the first offensive tackle to go off the board in this draft. Nick added that Latu may end up as nothing more than a designated pass rusher at the NFL level. I'm interested in hearing your overall opinion on Latu, Devin. Do you think he's worth a top 15 pick, or do you think he's a DPR at best in the NFL?
Yeah, I think he's worth a top 15 pick, you know, assuming that his medicals have come back clean and that he's a guy that, you know, teams feel confident about moving forward, you know, with his injury history and his neck, obviously. But just getting to his skill set, you know, I think, you know, when you think about him, obviously you think about what he does as a pass rusher and how he's able to win with so many different moves, a variety of pass rush ability, and just being a guy that can get to the quarterback no matter what. I do think that his run defending ability is suitable enough to be a starting edge rusher. And I think some of that has to do with, like, just continuing to gain some more strength and really being a little bit smarter in the chances that he took at UCLA. Because I think part of that is that, like, he was kind of big play hunting, you know, in the run game at the college level versus, like, you know, need to maintain his, you know, responsibility and you know, maintain the C gap or wider. And I just think the way that he played at UCLA is that he just wanted to attack, you know, and go after it. So I don't think, you know, he's a guy that's going to be necessarily a liability as a run defender. He doesn't have, like, the greatest length, but I don't think it's going to prevent him from being an impact player as a pass rusher and as a run defender. So I think Latu is a top 15 pick just based on his tape and also testing alone. And he's, you know, his ability to really turn the corner and really threaten in so many different ways, move him around positional alignment wise. It's too good to pass up to me in the top 15. So if he's there in the top 15, you need an edge rusher, someone that can contribute immediately. And maybe you just have him as a third down pass rusher early on in his career, but I don't think he's a guy that you necessarily have to take off the field and run, you know, in running situations.
Absolutely, Devin. Plus, Latu Latu just had his pro day, and he posted some very, very, very excellent numbers for a guy his size, and he's definitely a lot more athletic than many give him credit for. And on the first episode of our 2024 Dash of the Draft series, we talked about the likelihood of Penn State edge Chop Robinson putting up freakish testing numbers in Indy, and he absolutely did. He ran a 4.48 40, a 4.25 second short shuttle, and he also posted a 34.5-inch vertical jump and a 10-foot-8-inch broad jump. But there was also one major red flag for Chop Robinson, as his arms measured it at just 32.5 inches. If you think Latu's arms are short, Chop Robinson's are even shorter. As A.J. Schultz, who's currently with the Pro Football Network, noted, he can only think of four edge rushers with the same arm length or shorter who have recently gone in the first round. And they are Vic Beasley, Charles Harris, Derek Barnett, and most recently, Aiden Hutchinson. Of those four, only Hutchinson has panned out successfully. Would you be surprised if Chop Robinson falls out of the first round altogether?
I would not be surprised. And to me, you know, in my latest mock draft, I had him go in the second round because I think that's more of where his stock should probably lie, especially as a guy that's probably going to be mostly a pass rusher only, at least early in his career. Certainly he has the explosiveness and the ability to knife through offensive lines in a run game, you know, just going straight, you know, towards a quarterback or running back. But in terms of, like, holding his leverage and holding his ground, you know, in terms of facing offensive tackles, offensive guard straight up, you know, I think that's where you start to see some problems. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he fell out of the first round. You know, I just think, despite his athletic gifts and his ability to get after the passer and how talented he is in doing so, I just think his game isn't nearly well-rounded enough to take him, and not knowing if he's ever going to be a average or above average run defender. I just think right now you're getting a guy that you just unleash on third downs and just have them go and get after the quarterback and cause havoc, you know, whether it's in stunts or whether you just let him weigh on the outside track. You know, he can do so many different things with him, but I think he's a third down pass rusher early in his career. And I just don't know if in a draft that's worth taking him in the first round, maybe late first round, since a lot of the late first rounders and early second rounders have day two grades, but teams obviously need to make those selections. But to me, I think he's a guy that will come off the board early in the second round if he doesn't go in the first round, because I think someone's going to want what he can do. And necessarily, you don't necessarily have to get that fifth year option for him. But I just think right now, I wouldn't be surprised if he followed the first round, just obviously based on, you know, some of his deficiencies as a prospect.
Absolutely, Devin. NFL teams want these edges to have some level of comfort defending the run coming into the league. And Chop Robinson doesn't have that whatsoever right now. And that could be the biggest reason why he could fall out of the first round entirely. And another guy who absolutely stole the show at the Senior Bowl with his performance during practices was Missouri's Darius Robinson. Darius Robinson is a versatile defensive lineman who can line up on the edge or inside as a nickel pass rusher. Mel Kiper Jr. is a huge fan of his and recently hyped him up as a potential top 10 to 15 pick. While that may be a little too rich for my blood personally, do you believe Robinson continued his momentum at the combine, and does he have a very good chance at hearing his name called on day one?
Yeah, I think his hype cooled down a little bit at the combine just because he ran over a 5 second 40 and wasn't necessarily, at least numbers wise, testing wasn't like in line with what we've seen for guys like his size. But he's a unique player. And I think there's definitely some interest around him, even as a late first round pick or early second round pick. And that, to me, you know, he's a guy that coming into the Senior Bowl, not a lot of people were talking about him as a potential top 50 guy or a guy that could even go in the first round. Obviously, he blew up after the Senior Bowl. But for me, like I saw him and saw his ability to rush as a 3 technique and as a 5 technique, just win in multiple areas, uses long arms to really create some separation and then finding ways to get around offensive tackles and guards to get to the quarterback. But to me, he feels like two teams, like, I think, in the first, you know, in the back half of the first round that make a lot of sense are the Detroit Lions and Baltimore Ravens, just because they like those guys that are big, fast, strong, and really the versatility will play really well. Like, imagine having a edge group, especially in Detroit. We just talked about Aiden Hutchinson in a third down package where you have Hutchinson, you know, James Houston and Darius Robinson all in the game together, rushing the passer. I mean, there's so many different possibilities that you can go with and what he's able to do. You can move him in on those third down longs and he still can get to the quarterback and push the pocket. You can put him out on the edge if you want to. Have him as a solid run defender. So to me, Darius Robinson is a guy that I wouldn't be surprised if he made the, you know, especially in those last 4 or 5 picks of the first round. I think that's where his range starts. And then obviously early in the second round, I would say it was like 28 to 40 is where I see him ultimately landing when it's all said and done. But he's a great player, has had an excellent pre-draft process. I don't think he necessarily killed the combine, but he showed that his athleticism is real, even though, you know, maybe the straight line speed isn't what you thought it might be for a guy his size.
Exactly what I was thinking, Devin. Darius Robinson, unless I'm mistaken, he grew up in the Detroit area, and he definitely fits the mold of what a guy like Dan Campbell likes. He's that hard cat, lunch bucket kind of player. He might not be the freakiest athlete, but he's a good enough athlete, and he's going to give his absolute all on every play. And those are guys that sneak their way to the final end of the first round. And we could very well see that for Darius Robinson. And earlier in the program, we discussed two hot candidates to be the first defensive player selected in this draft, and Dallas Turner and Jared Verse. But many believe Texas defensive tackle Byron Murphy belongs to that conversation as well. We also discussed Murphy in depth on our first 2024 Dash of the Draft episode, and my guest Jeff Barnes agreed that if he performed as well as expected in Indy, he would essentially be a lock to be taken in the top 15. Do you think Byron Murphy did what he had to do at the combine to be drafted in that range?
I do think so. I ultimately don't think he's going to go top 15, and not just because he isn't warranted to. I just think the offensive line class, the wide receiver class is so robust. You still have to figure out a landing spot for Brock Bowers. So I think it's going to be more of a product of what's around him and, you know, what other players are going to be in kind of in that discussion. But in terms of like talent wise and what he brings to the table, I certainly could see why teams are enamored with him. His ability to get underneath the pads of interior offensive linemen, handle double teams really well, which is something you don't really see too much, especially as a three technique. You know, a guy that's probably going to play more of a three technique role versus like a nose tackle or one technique role. He handles it so well, able to drop his knee and really create some separation to still make plays even when he's being double team blocked. And just his pass rush ability, obviously, is so lauded and what he did, especially against Washington, despite them losing in that college football semifinal, wasn't because of him. He was creating so much pressure and chaos in the backfield on nearly every play. So to me, Byron Murphy feels more of a top 20, 25 pick just based on where this class stands, some of the needs of teams and kind of in that area. To me, I feel like if he's going to go in the top 15, it's either going to be like right around that, you know, 9 to 12 area, or it's going to be in the 20s where he goes. Because to me, once you get to like 12, 13 to like 19, you really don't see too much of a need. Obviously, the Rams at 19 losing Aaron Donald could be a possibility for Byron Murphy, even the Bengals at 18 as well. But to me, there's a little bit of a gap in between, you know, 12 and 18 where there's not really a need for defensive tackle. So if he doesn't go like early, like 10, 11, based on some teams that may be trading back or whatnot, I just can't see him going top 15 if he doesn't go, you know, in the early 10, 11, 12 range. But I think he's a guy to me, if he gets to 20, 21, 22, 23, you have to feel pretty good about what he can bring to the table and feel pretty good about running the card and getting a guy that can be a really good player for you for the next decade.
Absolutely, Devin. And we also talked about the Bears earlier. And say they we have to move back from 9 to about pick 15 to pick 20. And Jared Verse and Dallaser and Laiatulatu go off the board before then. And Byron Murphy is there staring him in the face. Is he the ideal three technique for that Matt Eberflus defense?
I would think so, just what he's able to do both as a run defender and pass rusher. They need more juice on the interior. You know, he would immediately be their best interior defensive line pass rusher. So I think you absolutely, you know, if the Bears want to play kind of that game that the Cardinals did last year where they kind of traded around a little bit, especially with that second first round pick in the top 10 teams being quarterback needy, I think you can really see a possibility where he ends up in Chicago just because he fits a need that they have. And, you know, while they may miss out on the edge rusher at the top of the class, they can still find a reliable edge rusher on day two of the draft.
Absolutely, Devin. And as important as edge rushers are, that three technique is the most important position in that Matt Eberflus defense. And another prospect that helped improve his stock at the Senior Bowl and Combine alike is Florida State defensive tackle Braden Fisk. Fisk is undersized at 292 pounds and lacks ideal length at only 31-inch arms, but he compensates for those deficiencies with his nonstop motor and athletic twitch. That twitch was on clear display in the testing, where Fisk ran a 4.78 40 and an impressive 4.37-second short shuttle, which was 0.02 seconds faster than soon-to-be Hall of Famer Aaron Donald. Heading into the Combine, Daniel Jeremiah had Fisk ranked as his 45th overall prospect in the draft. Would you be surprised if Fisk gets drafted even earlier than that?
Yeah, I would be a little surprised, not because I don't think he is not warranted or you know what he's been able to do, you know, at Florida State, obviously previously Western Michigan. You know, I just think he's a bit of an older prospect, a guy that, you know, is 24 years old currently. And, you know, I think his explosiveness, his ability to create havoc, and just his endless motor is all great things and, you know, makes him a really good prospect. But I do think as a run defender, especially in those double team situations, he isn't as strong as taking on blocks, straight on. And we talked about those, that arm length, And the kind of the inability to kind of control reps at the line of scrimmage. I think he's going to kind of need to learn how to get around that and win consistently. You know, I think his tape was just more inconsistent. Like, there were ups and downs. Like, he would make, you know, 3-4 plays in a row, and then for a while there would be a stretch where he didn't make as many plays, or he wasn't as strong in terms of you know, defending a run and holding his ground. But I think he's a guy that makes sense inside the first two rounds, like round pick 50 and later, I think makes a lot of sense for his draft stock. So I don't think it's too far off in terms of, you know, obviously being the 45th ranked prospect for Daniel Jeremiah, maybe going a little earlier than that. But to me, where kind of his stock stands right now, and just kind of his athletic profile, you know, in terms of height, weight, size, I think it's a little bit of an outlier. So I think that would cause him to maybe not go as high as people are thinking. But I could see him going inside the first two rounds. And if he doesn't make those top 64 picks, he won't last long in the third round.
I completely agree. And one notable prospect that was unable to work out at the combine was Illinois defensive tackle Johnny Newton, who is still recovering from a January procedure that repaired a partial Jones fracture in his foot. As Dave Brugler noted before the news broke, Newton was projected to be selected in the 20 to 35 range. What makes Johnny Newton worthy of an investment at that juncture of the draft? And do you still expect him to hear his name called around then?
Yeah, I do expect him to still hear his name called around then, just because I think the tape is some of the best in the class, regardless of position. Just his ability to be, you know, so explosive, so, you know, game wrecking, the ability to win, you know, as a edge rusher off the or five technique, obviously as a three technique as well. How good his hands are, how fast they are, ability to swipe them from offensive linemen and use his speed and power to win against offensive linemen. I think when you keep all those things in mind, I think Johnny Newton is a guy that I think he could be one of the defensive prospects that makes an instant impact just because of how good he is at what he does. And, you know, I think this interior defensive line class, especially at the top of it, you know, you don't really have those prototypical 310, 315 pound guys that you typically see. But I think he's one of those guys that he's going to come in. He's going to be a great pass rusher early on in his career. I do think he can get a little bit stronger in terms of handling double teams. I don't think he's bad at it right now. And I think, you know, obviously teams sent a lot of double teams his way, especially in the Big Ten. He still was able to make plays, you know, especially as a run defender. I think Penn State was his best game in terms of showcasing that ability. But I do think he still goes in that 20 to 35 range. He's still my interior defensive lineman one, even though Byron Murphy has had a really good pre-draft process and is really shown his skill set and whatnot. But if Johnny Newton does get the test, I think he's going to remind people just how explosive he is for his size and, you know, kind of quiet those concerns that he has about him right now.
Absolutely. And last year, we saw a pretty similar talent get drafted in the top 20 in Kalijah Katsi, and he had an excellent rookie season down in Tampa. Can you see a Johnny Newton making a similar impact his rookie season?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's kind of funny because, you know, you see, you know, Johnny Newton's from Florida and whatnot, and I believe Kalijah Katsi is too. So you can see kind of the similarities in their play style. I do think Newton was a little bit bigger coming out, obviously, but, you know, they're guys that they know how to win. They can do it consistently. And, you know, you feel really good about what they can do, you know, as pass rushers.
Yep, Warren Sapp, Kalijah Katsi, Johnny Newton, Florida definitely grows its three techniques. And he is Devin Jackson, NFL draft analyst and sports editor for the Philadelphia Inquirer. You can follow him on X at RealD_Jackson. And now, Devin, it's time to play our favorite game of draft season. It's called Buy or Sell. And in this game, I mentioned a defensive line edge prospect that we have not discussed yet. And you give us a little scouting report on him and let us know whether you buy or sell his long-term NFL stock. Starting with Austin Booker of Kansas. Buy or sell Austin Booker.
Yeah, I buy Austin Booker. I got a chance to talk with him at the Senior Bowl, and He's a guy that's kind of on a up and up. You know, he didn't hasn't played a lot of snaps at Kansas, so he's a guy that's relatively inexperienced. He's going to be your developmental day two guy that comes off the board. But you really like where his head is and where he can get better. He's explosive, although the testing doesn't really show that. He's a guy that can win on the outside track, has some really quick hands, and just continue to learn the game. I think he's going to be a early down or early career third down pass rusher. You put him in some packages, let him go and do his thing. But by his long-term ability, I think eventually down the line, you're going to have by year two or year three, you're going to have a starting outside linebacker that can get you 7 to 10 sacks in the right defense and right scheme.
And now on to Dallas Turner's running mate at Alabama, Chris Braswell, another guy we saw down at the Senior Bowl. Buy or sell Chris Braswell?
I'm gonna have to say so. I was initially in on Chris Braswell and what he was able to do at Alabama and showcasing his power and being able to win, but it hasn't really translated, in the pre-draft process, one and two, just as in terms of testing. I just don't think he's. I think he's a above average athlete, just not great. And at a position where you have to be a really, really good athlete, or have some sort of calling card, he just didn't really show it. It's at even level competition, down at the Senior Bowl. And kind of we talked about earlier and some of the inconsistencies with Chop Robinson. You kind of see some inconsistencies in Chris Braswell's game as well. I think he's a guy that can be a good rotational piece, and I thought maybe he could. Even reached a first round conversation after a really good weekend at the Senior Bowl. But, we had a handful of good reps, especially in a one-on-one session. I know that isn't an end-all be-all session, at the Senior Bowl, but against like-minded competition, he didn't really stand out. And I think he's going to be a guy that just ends up as a more of a rotational, solid depth piece type of edge rusher. But I don't think he's going to be a guy to me that, rises to the top of this edge class.
We talked about Chop Robinson earlier, and a lot of people thought that his running mate at Penn State, Adisa Isaac, was the better player on the field last year. And he's another guy that shined down in Mobile. Buy or sell, Adisa Isaac.
Yeah, I buy Isaac. I think he's a guy that's such a loose, fluid athlete. And I can just imagine him in a kind of a 3-4 role where he plays a more traditional outside linebacker type of role. I think that fits him a little bit more than a 4-3 scheme, although I do think he can do it. Penn State is always known for creating these freak athletes. Deesa Isaac is no different. But getting to see him against some of the other Senior Bowl edge guys, I think really kind of sold it for me, just how he went through and was intentional with every drill that he went through, how differently he transferred his weight in his body, how fluidly he's able to bend around the corner. He didn't have the greatest start to the Senior Bowl, but he really picked up over the course of the week, beat Talisi Fuaga a few times, one of the better tackles down at the Senior Bowl. And he just continued to build on. I think he's a guy that, get him in, and let him kind of grow in your system. And I think he's a guy that, can turn out to be, one of the more high profile guys in a couple of years. I think his skill set warrants that.
And moving right along here, Braylon Trice out of Washington. Buy or sell Braylon Trice?
I still buy on him, although I'm not as confident as I was at the beginning of draft season, coming off his season and what he did at Washington, having the most pressures of any edge rusher in FBS with 77. It just it's been a tough pre-draft process for him. Dropped down from 270-ish to 245. Didn't really look great testing wise. So I think as pro day, he's gonna have to really answer a lot of questions in terms of all right, I think at this point he has to bulk back up and test it the way that you would think he would play at, which is about 260, 265, because that fits more of like what he does. He's more of a power edge rusher, a guy that wants to go through your chest and wants to kind of impose his will. And being at 245 just doesn't really sell that, So I think for him, I'm kind of on the fence. I would say this one's more on the fence, but I would lean buy still because I do think the tape and how productive he was at Washington still outweighs even some of the not so great testing and kind of the pre-draft process he's having right now.
Yeah, at the end of the day, tape still is king. And Laiatu Latu also had a pretty darn good running mate at UCLA in the pass rush named Gabriel Murphy. Do you buy or sell Gabriel Murphy?
Yeah, I buy him. I know he has historically short arms. The profile is an outlier for sure, but just seeing what he was able to do opposite of Latu, there were games that he stood out a little bit more than Latu did, and that's no you know, shade or disrespect to Latu, but that's just how good Gabriel Murphy is. He's probably a day three pick. Like I said, the athletic profile isn't great. But we've seen undersized pass rushers still, you know, obviously make noise for themselves. Obviously, Bryce Huff this offseason being able to, you know, get the big contract from the Philadelphia Eagles. And that's one of the comps that have been thrown around for him, for Gabriel Murphy, is Bryce Huff in terms of his effort, his speed off the ball, how he times up snaps, and just his able to win no matter where he's lined up at. You put him over a guard or center, you can knife through and still get to the quarterback off the edge. So I like Gabriel Murphy. He's one of my favorite edge rushers in this class, so I'm absolutely buying his stock for sure.
And yet another guy we saw down at the Senior Bowl, Marshawn Neyland out of Western Michigan. Buy or sell Marshawn Neyland?
Yeah, so he was a guy coming into watching his tape that I didn't know a whole bunch about. And obviously I knew he had like a 3 or 4 sack game against Eastern Michigan. That was all I knew. But he was another guy like Dallas Turner that kind of grew on me. The more that you watch, you can see the athletic profile, the size, the length, how he uses that power, you know, not only as a run defender, but as a pass rusher. So I buy on him. I think he's a guy that you have to see more in 3-4 years. What you're getting out of him versus what you see right now, because I think he's far from a finished product. And I think once you get him in kind of a NFL room, he's able to learn more pass rush moves and really develop, you know, his skill set and his go-to move. I think you have a guy that has a you know, a sky high ceiling and that can be a really, really productive edge rusher in a really good edge rushing class. So to me, I think he makes sense as a 4-3 defensive end, kind of more of a traditional defensive end, a guy that can, you know, get stops in a run game, you know, add some added juice on and as a pass rusher. But I think, you know, by year two, year three, you're going to see Marshawn Neyland maybe start to emerge. I don't think he's ever going to be a perennial 10 sack guy, but I could see him 6-7 sacks and being a really good Robin to a Batman, which we obviously have talked about in this class. He's a perfect Robin to me, to a really good pass rusher playing opposite of him.
Absolutely. And moving on to defensive tackles at buy or sell. If you want a Hulk in the middle of your defensive line, look no further than Tavondre Sweat of Texas. Do you buy or sell Tavondre Sweat?
Yeah, I buy him, but to me, it comes with a caveat. I think I buy him if you take him in appropriate range, which to me is after pick 50. And really, I think the third round makes a lot of sense for what he brings and what he brings to the table. I think he's a really good player. I think, you know, he has that pass rush ability that you don't typically see from nose tackles, you know, in kind of a day and age where, you know, you're not really looking for that type of player anymore. I just think that's why he's not getting that first round buzz anymore, that early second round buzz anymore, just because that's not the type of player the NFL is looking for. But I like what he brings to the table. I like his size. I like how conditioned he is playing too. He's not a guy that is going to run out of gas. He can play the bulk of the snaps and still be a really highly effective player.
Absolutely. The NFL has become more and more and more of a passing league in recent decades, and defensive linemen have gotten a little lighter as a result. And this guy's dad was one of those throwback defensive linemen you just alluded to, but he is right where the NFL wants their defensive tackles these days, in that high 290 range. Chris Jenkins out of Michigan. Do you buy or sell Chris Jenkins?
I sell, and not because I don't think he's going to be, you know, a good player, but I just think right now he's kind of an all traits guy right now, all traits and size. I think the production for him was inconsistent. You know, watching Michigan's defense, he's You know, kind of blends into kind of the rest of what's happening. You don't see too many flashy plays from him over the course of the season. So I think he's going to be a good rotational piece, a guy that can maybe fill out some of the depth of your defensive line. But I don't think I see a high end starter. I do think obviously the NFL pedigree helps in his family and you know, who's he the son of, but I think he still has a ways to go before he becomes kind of a upper echelon interior defensive lineman. I think he's a guy to me that, you know, I'm not as high on, but I could see him being a nice depth piece, but I would have to say self for him.
And this guy has been getting a lot of traction in recent days in draft media circles. Michael Hall of Ohio State. Do you buy or sell Michael Hall?
Yeah, I buy him. I like him as a pass rushing three technique. I think that's the big value that you get with him. Where you take him in terms of that, I'm not really sure where that stock lies in terms of being mostly a pass rush from that particular position. But I think he's a guy that you know is explosive, ability to use several moves to get open. Or not get open, but to create havoc as a pass rusher, and I really like his profile, what he did at the Senior Bowl. Everything he's done in his pre-draft process has really helped him out. So I can see him being a third or fourth round pick. So I like Michael Hall, and I like his game and what he brings to the table.
And the latest member of the all-name team, Rook Arororo out of Clemson. Do you buy or sell Rook Arororo?
Yeah, I buy Arororo just because his run defending ability is one of the best in the class as an interior defensive lineman. Just what he's able to do, the strength, the power he plays with, and the mentality too. He's a guy, you know, that was one of the more entertaining NFL combine podiums just because he has the confidence of the world. I think was saying he could outshoot Steph Curry if he played in a basketball game with him. I think he asked him how many threes you would make out of 100. He said 98. So he's a guy that knows himself, has the utmost confidence in what he brings to the table. And to me, I think a team is going to get really good value out of him. Just as a pure run defender, he has some juice as a pass rusher too. To me, kind of reminds me of Ed Oliver coming out, a few years ago, where he's really good at several things. You know, he's not just a run defender; he's not just a pass rusher. So, to me, he's probably the best value pick that you would get as in the interior defensive lineman class. He gives you the best of both worlds as a run defender and pass rusher. So I like Arororo and what he brings to the table and the skill set. I think he's only going to get better at the NFL level.
Definitely cannot wait to see what Rook Arororo is able to do at the NFL level. And if you're looking for a classic two-down run stuffer on day three of the draft, look no further than Fabian Lovett Sr. out of Florida State. Do you buy or sell Fabian Lovett Sr.?
Yeah, I buy him just based on what you said. You know, a day three guy that can plug holes in the interior of your defense. I think that makes a lot of sense in what he brings to the table. To me, he played a little bit more consistent than Braden Fisk on film. You know, I know Fisk has a more splashy, high variance plays, but to me, Lovett is more of a kind of he knows his role type of player. You know what you're getting out of him. He's a guy that can help fill out your roster and be an early down run stuffer and be a really good one for years to come. I just think he brings that value in what he does. And I don't have too many questions in terms of how he would project to NFL level because what he did at Florida State, I see him replicating at the NFL level too.
And last but not least for buy or sell, Mason Smith out of LSU. Do you buy or sell Mason Smith?
Yeah, I'm going to have to sell. I like Mason Smith, what he's able to do, what he's able to bring to the table. I think that just feel concerned about kind of his long-term ability, how healthy he's going to stay at the NFL level, and just the kind of the inconsistencies of not just him, but the LSU defensive line. I just felt like, watching LSU's games, there just wasn't enough push, enough high level, run stops and negative yardage play from that interior group. And I feel like, you know, Mason Smith kind of got caught, you know, in the wash of it all. So for me, I think Smith is a guy that I think, you know, obviously highly recruited and has some production over his course of his career at LSU. But I just think he's a guy that's probably a day three player that, you know, I think will maybe be able to compete for a roster spot. But I just don't see, at least early on in his career, a guy that's going to be, you know, competing for a starting spot on an NFL team right now.
Once again, he is Devin Jackson, ladies and gentlemen, NFL draft reporter and sports editor for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Follow him on X at RealD_Jackson. Devin, thank you so much once again for donating your time, talent, and immense football knowledge to our program. And that's it for today here on Sports Crunch. But we'll be back in just a few days to begin our annual Dash to the Draft Divisional Tour. Our first stop will be in the NFC South, where our good friend Scott Kennedy, host of the Falcons podcast on YouTube, will join us. So stay tuned. Also, be sure to follow me on X at DCrom59 and on Instagram and now Threads at SportsCrunch with DCrom. And remember, that's Crunch with a K. For Devin Jackson, this is David Cromwell saying so long, and whatever you do, please choose love, please choose kindness, please choose compassion, please choose selflessness, and please choose empathy, which are the core characteristics of the best teammates and teams in any sport. Until next time, cats and kittens, stay cool.